Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. My name is Mudso, and this is my program. It's called Mudso at Midnight because it's Mudso's show, and it happens at midnight. And everything in it is just as logical as that is. And those of you who've listened to it before know that that's not true. Let me first remind you of some of the other stuff that you can hear on this channel, which is the With Insights channel of blogtalkradio.com. We have Iggy and Iggy and Rose's show, which is not intuitive. What is it called? I don't know. I'm going to have to ask them what their show is called because it does have a name. They do intuitive readings. They take your calls and they do psychic readings for you over the air. So that's at 6 o'clock on Mondays, and then on Tuesdays at 7 p.m., it's Jenny Seek and the Intuitive Voice, the Inner Voice Intuitive Hour. And then at 2 p.m. on Wednesdays, it's Heather Tapia's Entrepreneurial Excellence Show. And then Fridays at midnight, these are all Eastern time, by the way, Fridays at midnight is a little old name, Mudso Sasquatch, and the Mudso at Midnight program. If you want to get in touch with me, you can email me at mudsosasquatch@gmail.com. Or you can check out my blog at mudsosasquatch.com. And, gosh, there's also a Twitter page, but, boy, I barely ever look at it. But if more people, blah, 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 if more people started tweeting there, I might look at it more often, mightn't I? So if you are one of those Twitter people, you can Twitter me there. That's mudsosasquatch. It's at mudsosasquatch, I guess, is how you do that, right? I did Twitter last year, and I couldn't get into it. There's seems to be a lot of things you might read on the wall in a junior high school. So people of my generation will remember what a junior high school was. At any rate, we are here together for the next 29 minutes now, 28 maybe. And so I better think of something interesting to say pretty quick. First of all, I have a bit of business that I neglected last week because of what happened with the show, and I'll get to that in a minute, but I neglected to mention that Rosa from Iggy and Rosa's show on Monday, Rosa Garcia, is now Rosa Burnham. She got married last week to another friend, Ben Burnham, and I want to just offer many congratulations to them and many happy returns and all that good stuff. Now they're going to be very happy together. Which, you know, kind of pisses me off, but that's okay. They're entitled to their happiness. I know it doesn't have anything to do with me. They didn't do it just to spite me. I realized that. It took me a few days to come to that conclusion. But it's all good now, so don't worry about it. Just wish them a happy wedding. They'll be happy, I'm sure. Anyway, so that happened. Also, this past Sunday was my granddaughter's birthday. She's all 3 years old, and every one of her three birthdays parties has been spent at a local park, which is near to where my daughter and her family live. By park, I mean it's one of these foresty places where you can get on the trail and walk around and stuff, and they have shelters, and they have it's this magnificent, huge shelter made of, or shelter, either one, made out of stone, and with a just nice view of the woods. And last year, I made the mistake of retrieving a balloon that my granddaughter had lost. I went over the fence and into the woods and retrieved the balloon. And I came out with a scorching case of poison ivy or poison something. I ended up having to go to a doctor and get a shot before it would get cleared up. So I did not make that mistake this year. I steered clear of the woods, and I also wore long pants just to make sure. And it was a fun event. The fun time was had by all, except my granddaughter, who was pretty fussy by the end of it. She likes balloons, and they kind of pulled a twist on her. It's just one of those things, you know, you can't quite expect a three-year-old to come up with this just on their own. This is just my opinion. You know, I don't want to tell my daughter and her how to run her family, but they had helium balloons this year, and I don't think my granddaughter has ever experienced helium balloons because she just kept letting go of them. You know, she didn't want to let go of them. It wasn't like she was letting go of them on purpose to see them float up. She would just, you know, she'd have it, and great, this, I guess it's a great balloon. And then after a few seconds, she'd forget and let go of the thing, and it would float up to the ceiling, and she'd start to cry. And she repeated that process at least a half a dozen times before I left. And I don't know how they retrieved all those balloons from up on the ceiling, because you're supposed to clean those shelters up before you leave. I don't know how they. I think the ceiling was a good 20 feet above the floor. I don't know. I don't know. I'm thinking those balloons are probably still there, and then that the forest ranger may just be shaking his head. You know, more kids with helium. You know, will they ever learn? Excuse me. Will they ever learn? Ah, when will they ever learn? Song. Anyway, it's Friday night at midnight. I'm here doing this show again. How about that? Oh, I knew there was something. I was vamping there because I knew there was something else about the party that I wanted to tell you that wasn't coming to my head right away. At the party, I found that my daughter had ratted me out about this radio show. You may remember, if you listened to the show last week, my daughter took me out for karaoke, you know, to this Japanese food. It's a sushi bar and karaoke bar. And we were karaokeing the night away and having a great time, father, daddy, daughter a bit. And then realized it was almost time for the show. And luckily I had my phone and my code numbers with me, and I was able to dial in, but I had to do the show from the karaoke bar. So it was rather loud, obnoxious, and hard for me to put two thoughts, harder than usual for me to put two thoughts together. And but you did get the chance to meet my daughter, if you were listening last week, because she had to step in and do the show for me for a few minutes, because I was on the list to sing, and they called me up to sing, and I handed her the phone, and I said, cover the show for me. So she spoke to you. I still have no idea what she said, because I haven't gone back and listened to the archive yet. I hope it was either complimentary or neutral towards me, or that she didn't talk about me at all. She didn't, certainly didn't have to. She was free to talk about herself or about any topic that she wanted to talk about. And she thought it was a hoot, so much so that she told my parents about it at the party, and they had no idea that I did this radio show. It's sort of, I didn't mention it to them because it's sort of apropos of nothing, because they're not on the internet anyway. When I do things, they're sort of that I won't say are sort of off. I guess it is appropriate to say doing these internet radio shows, one of this ilk especially, is sort of off the beaten path. And my parents are not off the beaten path. They are pretty much in the middle of the beaten path. So when I do these kind of odd things, which they think are odd, I have some spanning to do sometimes, but they were pretty cool about it. I just told them what it was all about by just talking to the phone for half an hour every week, and it's kind of like some extra free therapy for me, and they seem to accept that explanation. So I've been outed as an internet radio show host, outed to my parents by my daughter, and so far so good. No recriminations. Nobody's been told not to show up anybody's doorstep, and hopefully that's the way it will stay. I think it'll stay that way. Generally, my folks are pretty cool with the many things they do, but they worry about me. I'm supposed to be well set by now. I have a nice house in the suburbs with 2.3 kids. And I'm like, well, no, my kids will be gone by now. See, that scenario is beyond me. I've outlived that scenario. I can't even really go back to that anymore. I am seriously getting too old for it. I mean, I'm 48 now. If I were to, let's say it took me a year to find somebody and get married, and it takes about another year to have a kid, and probably another couple of years to have another one. You know, I'm in my mid-50s before I even get the youngest kid into school, and I'm in my mid-70s before, you know, they're out of school and out of my hair, and you know, I can't even take care of myself at this point. How am I going to take care of 3-4 other people in my life? Of course, if my wife were independently wealthy, that would be different, but those women are tough to come by. Or maybe they're not. I haven't seriously looked. I've noticed in the places where I have looked, as far as, I say, the internet dating and that sort of thing, women seem to be looking for someone who's very stable, and I don't think I fit that. I don't think I fit that description at all. So, looks bad for old Mudtoe. Looks like old Mudtoe will be alone forever. Which brings me to my next topic, which is I wanted to try and discuss my blogs. My blog discussions are starting to get backed up here, because two shows ago, I hadn't even written a blog yet, so I couldn't discuss it. Last week, I was at that karaoke bar with that guy. I got off with the god-awful music. The music was actually pretty good, but it was very loud. And it really is, I'll speak for myself, it's really hard for me to think with all that noise going on, I can't put two, to say before, I can't put two thoughts together. And I really felt my, I kind of want to go back and listen to the archive, because I don't know really what I, there were just some places where I really lost track of what I was saying. So let me take the opportunity right now to perhaps explore the last three blogs, the one that belonged with the show that I hadn't written it, so I couldn't talk about it, and the one that I'd written the week of the Loud show at the Shishu Bar, and then there's this week's blog. The one I wrote 2 weeks ago was about, I had noticed that I seemed to be sleeping a lot more during the day because it became very hot. I was trying to stay out of the sun. And since things have gotten so slow at work, I don't have anything to do during the day anyway. My theater job is at night. So I was, you know, exploring this idea of being out in the night and looking at artificial lights, which are just natural light that's been stored in, you know, fossilized plants and animals for millions of years, and then we human beings have drilled it out, you know, in the form of oil and or natural gas or coal, and we burn it to produce power. And one of the things that comes from that is the artificial light. So the light is really sort of light that's been the light we see from the you know, from the lights of the city, the and the buildings and the streetlights and so forth, is really a light, you know, from natural light from primordial times, which has been locked up in the earth for millions and millions of years. And I was sort of lamenting the fact that I don't have anybody to talk to that I think would relate to that idea. That they wouldn't just nod their head and say, uh-huh, you know, that would maybe be able to riff off of that idea in some way. And I had found sort of a blueprint for that person, maybe blueprint for person is putting too much, making it too real. But I said I had seen one of our cast members in the theater, a young lady, a young red-haired lady, who had sung a song that had made an impression on me. And I told her that it made an impression on me, that it touched me, and that she looked at me like I was from another planet. And then she came as a spectator to the next show, and she was wearing a dress that impressed me. And I described it in the blog. And I sort of took her, I was reporting that I'd sort of taken her as a model for this theoretical person. Even though I don't know her well at all, and I was ascribing to her physicality, you know, her sort of body, the mental characteristics, the personality characteristics of this theoretical woman who would stay close to me as I looked at, you know, city lights in the middle of the night. Because I didn't want to go out during the day. Okay, so that's basically what the blog said. And I wrote that, and it went out the Saturday, the day after it was supposed to, so Saturday or whatever. And sometime after that, it would have had to have been after last week's show. Or I would have said something about it then. I don't recall. See, I remember having forgotten the Rose and Ben thing. I don't remember having forgotten that this next thing that I'm going to say. The same red-haired young lady, let me step back a little bit. When I talk about people, you know, actual people who exist in my blogs, I'm pretty lax about asking them first whether I can do it. If it's something they shared with me, if it's a story they told me, or something they mentioned to me in confidence, I will always definitely check with them before I write about it. But if it's just something that happened in the course of everyday life that probably doesn't even involve them, it's just my emotional reaction to their physical presence or to something they said or to the way they dressed in this particular case. Usually, you know, I don't say anything to them. I just go ahead and write it, especially, you know, if they're not Facebook friends and therefore not likely to ever see it ever. Now, let me jump back even further. How many times am I going to do a lips here? Back in my undergraduate days, I was working in a chemistry lab, and there was a good-looking young lady in there, a couple of benches down from me, and I had a very specific erotic dream about her the night before. So one of those dreams you don't shake off, you know, right away as soon as you wake up. And, you know, I slept as late as I possibly could because I'd be at work at 8 in the morning. So I'm probably 20 minutes maybe removed from this dream when I get to work. And she comes in, and I say hi, and she just shoots me this look of death. And now, logically, intellectually, I know. In my brain, in my intelligence, I know there's no way she can be aware that I had this very specific erotic dream about her the night before. But when she shot that look at me, you know, my stomach just turned to ice, you know, the way it does. And in the next moment, she kind of saw, you know, she saw the expression go across my face, and then her expression changes. Oh, what's the matter? But, you know, the look had nothing to do with me at all. It was she was mad about something else, something had happened on the way in, I don't remember. But I do recall that experience of that I was busted. You know, and there was no way I could be busted. And yet, I was certain for a moment that I was. And, you know, what was I going to say? What was I going to do? So the same thing happened to me with this red-haired lady at the theater. Because if she came in and, you know, wouldn't make eye contact with me, you know, I didn't attempt to start a conversation. I didn't say hello or anything. There was never an opportunity. She was always, like, across the room. But she's just very, and, you know, maybe she had something else. It's possible she had something else on her mind. What I'm driving at here is, of course, immediately I jumped to the conclusion, she saw the blog and she didn't like it. She saw the blog and she's mad about the blog. And again, there's really not too many. As I said, she's not a Facebook friend. As far as I know, none of the people in the theater are Facebook friends. The director is, but I don't think he reads my blog. And even if he did, I don't know why he would tell her. So, you know, how would you find? And to top it all off, this particular person, I don't think she would. I think if I'd done something that pissed her off, she would come up and say, "Hey, you know, that what you wrote about me in that blog really pissed me off." I don't think she would keep it to herself if she was angry with me, is what I'm trying to say. She would have called me out. So, you know, again, and in my head, I know it can't have anything to do with that blog I wrote. But, you know, the experience of her not acknowledging me and not talking to me sort of starts that whole feeling, you know, oh, she does know, and she is mad at me, and I have, you know, stepped into some trouble here. And perhaps I should be more careful about what I write, but, you know, being careful about what you write, you never get much written. I seem to recall at some point in the past doing almost an entire show on this topic, because I was thinking about writing a story based on a band, a particular part of the experience of a band that I'm aware of here in town. And I can't say I know them. I don't really know any of these people. I only saw them perform once, and I'm a fan on their Facebook page. And there was this drama that unfolded as the band broke up, and then one of the band members reconstituted the band of the same name with different members, and the members who had left, the original members who had left, were upset about that and, you know, wrote about being upset about that. And I had, in my story, added this other layer of of tension over two of the band members being rivals over a male singer in the band. So, I mean, that was purely my creation. But then I thought, you know, what if somebody reads this story and recognizes themselves? That's a very real concern for me, because a lot of the people in my stories come from people I know. You know, they aren't exactly. I've taken some part of the personality or some sliver of experience that I had with this other person, and then I created a character and put laid those experiences on my character, and I thought, what happens to that person from all those years ago or from yesterday? What happens if that person recognizes themselves and gets pissed off? Well, what am I going to say? Do I need to say anything? Do I need to defend myself? You know, it's a story, and then writers have to work from their own experience. You know, I didn't mention any names. It would take. That's the thing. Talking again about the red-haired lady from the theater. I mean, that's part of it right there. I mentioned that she had red hair. I described the dress that she was wearing in a lot of detail, and I mentioned the exact the occasion that when she was wearing those dresses. So anyone who was at theater that night could conceivably piece together, you know, who it was. So anonymity was something I was not terribly careful about that evening. So I didn't write anything offensive. I don't think I did. There's one thing that I'm a little worried about that she might have. I don't know if she would have taken exception to it or not. But I described her as having a Wonder Bra cleavage. So she was showing a lot of Wonder Bra cleavage, which she was. I didn't make that up. And I don't consider that to be a bad thing. Whatever effort you ladies wish to put into creating cleavage is absolutely fine with me. I mean, I appreciate it. I really do. But I can see where someone might read that and think that I was making fun of her body, and I wasn't at all. She has a very cute body. I would I'm not going to even go there. She's the same age as my daughter, so I'm not going to go there.
I'm going to say that I didn't mean it as an insult. Not at all. And in the context, well, then you go back over and you say, well, somebody reading it might take that assumption that I was making fun of her, that I was making fun of her body. And that really, it wasn't my intention. Sometimes you've got to watch these things, because the point of these blogs, I've said this on the show before, is to do quick and dirty writing. So I don't start the blogs beforehand. They go up on Fridays. I sit down on a Friday afternoon, and I write it, 500 to 700 words. And then I go over it once, looking basically for spelling and grammar errors, and just anything egregious that I want to change. You know, I didn't want to say that, I shouldn't have said that, I should say this, or I shouldn't say that at all and take it out. Just anything that pops out at me is, oh, I don't want to even say that. That's the only thing I'll allow myself. I write it, go over it once, and then I publish it. And so some interesting things come out of it sometimes, and people will write back to me and say, what did you mean by that? You know, and then I'll look at what I wrote, and I say, boy, it does kind of sound like I was saying something but I hadn't really, you know, intended. So it's an interesting experience in honing my craft and saying what it is that I mean. And I guess sometimes I got to take my lumps for it. And I can't say I've ever had anything. I don't think I've ever had anybody become seriously angry because of something I wrote, or something I wrote about them, or something they perceived that I was writing about them. So I can't say I've had any direct pain come from that experience. So that was that first blog. I've still got two more to get to, and I'm running out of time. Last week I wrote one. It's really the last 2 weeks I've gotten terribly lazy. I've just written lists, and I hate it. That's the worst. That's when my blogging has gone to its worst, is when I just write lists of things. I've done it 2 weeks in a row, and you people have every right to be outraged. You should expect more from me. Last week I just wrote, I was trying to come up with a 4th of July story, and I just could not come up with one that didn't sound like I was. I was trying to write a 4th of July with my mother and father, and every time I wrote it, I either made them sound like overbearing tyrants or a doddering old man and woman, and they're neither one of those things. And I didn't want to make them sound like that, so I just eventually gave up the idea, and I just wrote a list of 8 or 9 things that I love about America. And I got absolutely no response for it, and had the lowest readership of any of my recent blog articles, of going back as far as I looked. And then this week I turned around and did the same thing. I didn't think I was doing it at the time, but as I think about it now, I realize, yeah, I did kind of just take another list. But I thought it would be fun. I've been seeing a lot more, I think a lot more usual than usual, or at least I'm noticing it more. A lot more of these posts, say, on Facebook, where there is a picture and sort of a smarmy saying of some kind tearing down a particular political figure or political point of view or celebrity or something. Paula Deen has been a very popular target lately for those kind of things. And it's I'm not talking about the jokey ones. I'm talking about when they cite some sort of fact. They say, did you know that such and such a person was a member of this terrible organization? But without, you know, providing any proof
Oh, here's the one that struck me, was the one about there's supposed to be pictures of WMD in Syria. And it's just, I mean, it's a pile of, it looks for all the world like a pile of spent propane cylinders in somebody's shed. I mean, the picture, that's what the picture could be for all I know. So I took a shot at writing. I set a target of 20, and I reached it. I made 20 factoids that you might see on the internet. Just how would I be at making up these so-called facts that most of which are so obviously made up.
So I did that, and I have, let's see if I have them handy here. I don't have internet at the house anymore, but sometimes I do think to take the text, save it, and bring it home with me. Like here's the first one. Countries ruled by Al-Qaeda or other terrorist groups control the world's entire supply of nickel and cadmium. Now, how would you even check something like that? According to, I like this one. This is the first one I thought of. I thought of it in the shower that morning. According to her official genealogy, Queen Elizabeth II is 6% black and 2% Asian. And just odd facts that wouldn't. Justin Bieber was born with a club foot. Golfing champion Tiger Woods is a direct descendant of U.S. President Millard Fillmore. This stuff that doesn't really, it comes to nothing. But people put it on their, put it on their blogs, put a nice picture with it, and maybe a fake table or graph, and use it to underline, whatever point it is they're trying to make. And the idea is whenever anything appears on the internet, it becomes true. You don't have to prove it anymore. You don't have to present evidence that any of these things are true. People are just, oh, really? That is all that's true, but I must think this way. Let's see, here's another one. There has been a copy of J.D. Salinger's Catcher in the Rye found at the site of every mass killing of human beings, including 9/11, that has occurred since the book was published in 1951. And then my final shot was, I made all these things up, but if you doctored them up as I suggested earlier, they certainly wouldn't be the least plausible things you would find on the interstate. Recent floods in the Mississippi River Basin uncovered over 5,000 tons of radium that had been secretly flushed by the government. Actually, I think I've changed. This is the one that I pasted in, and then I made a couple of changes in my pass through it, because I had already made an earlier sort of comment about radioactive material. Like, I've got two radioactive jokes here, and I've got to change one of them. I think I changed it to dried prunes. 5,000 tons of dried prunes being meat saved by the government for some reason. You can write a book about each of these things. And here's just one that's totally, I don't even know where this came from. I just wrote, in the northern hemisphere, it is most effective to place room fans only in the south and west-facing windows. How many people could you convince to do that? Just because it was on the internet. Just because the internet said to do it. Now, if you're in the northern hemisphere, you should only be putting your fans in the south and west-facing windows. And you could probably come up with a rationale for that. Some sort of circulating, like that thing about what is the effect where the stuff goes down the water, where the water goes down the drain, and it goes a different direction if you're in Australia that goes up here. And it probably has something to do with the air currents going through your house, right? And, sort of rational, educational sort of setting, I would probably be expected to prove that, but on the internet, certainly. Here's one. Stephen King also writes romance novels under the pen name Percy B. Sweetwater. Wouldn't that be fun? That people would actually go out and I got spelling errors in this. That means that the computer I was using, and this wonderful computer lab I like to go to, it's not open most of the time in the summer. But so they got brand new computer there's hardly anybody over there, but it looks like the computer I used didn't have spell check because there's lots of spelling errors in it. But I didn't catch. Oh no, my authority is shattered. Well, good thing I'm out of time. I don't have to live with this embarrassment for much longer. I'm going to live. I'm not going to stop living. I'm just not going to be on the radio anymore. I want to thank you for tuning in, and tune in to talk to me next week. I hope you have a fine week wherever you are, and have a pleasant good evening.